الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون صدق الله العظيم. Honorable and beloved elders in Islam and our young ones, when we look through the life of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every aspect of the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will truly fascinate us. The birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had its own unique specialities. And then when we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from a historical biographical background, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. Before his birth, his father had left this world, and then his mother leaves this world. He goes into the care of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, and then he leaves this world, and then he comes into the care of Abu Talib. Then he also leaves this world, and then Allah's hukam that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam must make Mi'raj. And then the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, we found that the tribes of Medina, the Aus and the Khazraj, had pledged to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Would all those that had sheltered Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the nubuwat, after Allah Ta'ala had chosen him to be a prophet, a Nabi, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone through untold difficulties. In his own mubarak words, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that no one was imposed difficulty upon more than I had been through difficulties. And secondly, no one was put through the situations of fear more than I had been put through. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone through difficulties, trials, torments, to the extent that the biographers have written that there came a time in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that seemingly outwardly no one would be able to bear what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone through. And then together with difficulties, persecutions, there was the effort of ridiculing, disgracing and mocking Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he had come to that stage that no other human being would have been able to bear what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone through. The 7th, 8th and the 9th year of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are known as the years of the boycott, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Banu Hashim, the close family members of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, were boycotted. No trade, no food, no exchange of anything. And those were very difficult years for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the 10th year, the year after the boycott had ceased, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loses first his uncle Abu Talib. Now when we look at Abu Talib, he had not embraced Islam, but he was more a political figure in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, protecting him. And so long as Abu Talib had been there, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the comfort of his protection. The very famous saying of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Quraysh had approached Abu Talib and they said to him that everything would be in order,
merely and simply ask your nephew to desist. Desist from this da'wah of La ilaha illallah. Keep away from this da'wah of La ilaha illallah. Abu Talib calls Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam hears Abu Talib's proposal and he says, Lo wudiya shamsu fi yaminihi wal qamaru fi yasarihi, that if the sun had to be put in my right hand. Now that was not an expression that was usual on the tongues of the Arabs. But what was more amazing, that in Arabia, the sun was synonymous to heat, to hardship, to difficulties. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was signaling out to Abu Talib and the rest of the Quraysh and the rest of the world, that put me through whatever difficulties you would like to, whatever it may be, I will undergo all of that, but I would not leave this message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other side, the bribe to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will make you the king of Arabia, and we will give you whatever you require, the wealth or of Arabia or whatever else it may be. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used the moon, something of comfort, something of glory, something of joy. You can put all the comfort, all the joy, all the glory, you can place it in front of me, but I will not leave this message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was the 10th year of the Hijrah. Now Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam loses Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, a greater calamity befalls Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the narration of Sirah, between 3 to 5 days. In other words, one hasn't completed the mourning process, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam loses his beloved wife, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. If we may understand this loss in another way, Abu Talib protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam outside the home. And Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was that means of comfort for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the home. We would all remember that hadith. We'll just go through it very quickly. That when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam became the recipient of wahi, iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, was revealed in the cave of Hira. When he comes home shivering, when he comes home filled with apprehension, overwhelmed with worry and concern, what is all this about? What does the future hold for me? He comes exclaiming, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, wrap me and wrap me. Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she hears Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam out and she makes the statement, Allah will never ridicule, Allah will never disgrace you. And then she mentions those mubarak qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she comforts Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So one a protector outside the home, one a comforter in the home. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a period of 3 to 5 days loses both of them. And it was at that time, and probably most of the ulama of the seerah, the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are unanimous that the journey of the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a consolation, a means of consoling Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to take him on this magnanimous journey to show Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has in store for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inna ja'alna ma 'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu 'amala. It was never possible that Allah ta'ala would take him on a journey on this earth to show him the things of this earth, because whatever was on this earth was a zenith, or is a zenith. It is adornment, it is decoration. And when you move that out and you scratch into the surface to understand the reality of this earth, there was nothing. But this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last ummah, had this Nabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whom Allah Ta'ala takes on this Mubarak great journey to link us to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and turn and deviate our hearts towards Allah and away from this material world. So it was under these circumstances, in a nutshell, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that I was in the house of Ummu Hani. Ummu Hani was the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sister of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And he says, whilst I was lying in a home, I dozed off when I noticed Jibreel alayhi salam and Mikail alayhi salam come in, and they took me to the Hatim on the door of the Kaaba, around the Kaaba, and there they began to open out my chest, remove my heart, use Zamzam to wash my heart, and then in a tray that was filled with hikmah, with wisdom, was placed into my heart. There was no surgery the way we know surgery. There was no anesthetic that was done. There was no theater. There was absolutely nothing. But that was placed in my heart, and my heart was once again placed back into my chest. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, from there the buraq was brought, and I was taken on the first part of the journey, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the ayats of the Quran, in Surah Bani Israel, Surah Isra. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. If you look at the span of 114 surahs of the Quran, some of the surahs begin with what is known as the حروف مقطعات, the alphabets, Alif Lam Mim, Qaf, Taha, Yasin. Then there are those that have been initiated and begun with Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And then we will get the other ayats or other surahs that begin with Qul, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, Qul huwa Allah, Qul uhiya ilayya annahu istama'a nafarun minal jinn. But one single surah, Allah Ta'ala begins the surah with Subhan. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده. Just this word سبحان, that glory be to Allah. Allah is the most perfect being. Allah is free of all faults. Allah is free of faults insofar as Allah himself is concerned, insofar as the sifat, the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. But above all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show us that this is a miracle that is going to take place, and understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of all the limitations that may be created by the creation of Allah ta'ala. Allah is not bound to place, Allah ta'ala is not bound to time. And in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, who took in a night's journey, laylan, a portion of the night. Allah ta'ala had taken him from Ka'batullah, from Masjidul Haram, ilal Masjidil Aqsa. Now over the years we discussed what had transpired in between. But when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes to Masjidul Aqsa, Jibreel alayhi salam with his finger pierces a rock in which he put the nook or the string that was on the buraq to tie the buraq. Now, just to divert a little bit to understand the reality of all of this, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam some years thereafter wrote a letter to the different emperors and leaders and kings, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wrote one letter to the emperor of Rome. In that letter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam invited him towards Islam, understanding that he was a Christian. Through his scriptures, he had known about the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But he wanted some kind of feedback from the people of Makkah about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, about this personality. And he inquired about any caravans of the Arabs that were in the surrounding, and it was said to him that Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harb, at that time was not a Muslim. He is there as the leader of his caravan, known to the emperor of Rome. Abu Sufyan was called in, and the single question was asked, tell me about this person that makes the claim of Nubuwat. Now Abu Sufyan at that time, he said, many things crossed my mind, but I knew one thing for sure, that I would not lie. And that's the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, a believer will do everything, but he will not lie. And hence, Abu Sufyan then began to think about what would be there to express, to narrate, so that the emperor of Rome will turn away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, I spoke about this Mi'raj. I spoke about this journey that he claimed to have undertaken in a short span of time, in a short portion of the night. When the emperor of Rome hears this, he's also taken aback. But from the other details, he had known that this would be the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then a priest began to speak. And he said, I remember very well that night. It was the night, like every other night, before I would go to sleep, I would have the doors of Al-Aqsa, of Baytul Muqaddas, I will have them shut and closed. However, on that night, this one particular door did not close. I called the masons, I called the carpenters, and they began to explain to me that there was a considerable amount of weight on that wall, that where this door was, and probably the lintel has moved. The task is too big to tackle at night. And then he said, when I looked at this rock, I saw a hole pierced, and I came to know that this was the Mi'raj of the last Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that was a human being that testified out of the precincts of the Haram, out of Makkah Mukarramah. He had known about this Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nonetheless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, I came into Masjid al-Aqsa. And then I performed 2 rakat salat. And then I saw some individuals appear. And then many more had joined them. And then the adhan was given. And then thereafter the iqama was given. And then I was told by Jibreel alayhi salam that you would perform the salah. When the salah was over, it was a 2 rakats of salah. When that salah was over, Jibreel alayhi salam informed me that without any exception, this was all the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, these personalities, every Nabi of Allah Ta'ala was a muqtadi of yours. Now brothers and friends, when the ulama discuss the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would not discuss it as a historical detail, but there are wisdoms why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will undertake, why Allah ta'ala will let certain things happen in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this one important aspect, I mentioned this before, but there was no other place on the surface of this earth where all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam had assembled at one particular time. Al-Aqsa is the only place, even Baytullah, all the Nabis had made Hajj of Baytullah in their particular era. But it was never an occasion that all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam had descended, all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam had assembled and performed one salah all together, assembling at one place, the Baytullah or any other place. This was only the virtue of Al-Aqsa that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had granted. Now the fact is, or the question would be, was why was Al-Aqsa chosen for this? The point from which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken further. So the ulama have expressed the important aspect that Allah Ta'ala wanted to show mankind till the day of Qiyamah. That despite the fact that Al-Aqsa was the residence, the birthplace of many Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that had come before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but Al-Aqsa will always be subservient to Baytullah. Al-Aqsa will always be subservient to the house of Allah. Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi Bakkata mubaraka. That it will always be under and after a less virtuous, although more virtuous than other masajid, but less virtuous than Baytullah, that is the Kaabatullah and Masjidul Haram. And the other aspect is that our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the Imam, Allah Ta'ala wanted to show you and I, the Ummat, that every other kitab that was revealed to every other Nabi, it is haq, it is the truth, as it was revealed from Allah to the Nabi. Allah revealed the Torah to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam 100% haq, 100% nur, hidayat, guidance. And like that, the kitab, the Injil sent down to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, that original kitab, the original wahi, 100% haq, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then every other kitab, every wahi, every revelation, every scripture now becomes abrogated with the advent of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the revelation of the Quran. And this is one of the most important lessons that each and every one should take today. That every other way of life is now annulled. Every other way of life is now cancelled. But that life that Allah Ta'ala had shown to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the way of life. Inna ad-deena 'indallahi al-islam wa man yabtaghi ghayra al-islam deenan falan yuqbala min. The real and true deen but in the eyes of Allah is Islam, and whoever searches for any other way of life, it will not be accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah give us the tawfiq. We speak about sirat mustaqim. We must speak about sirat mustaqim. Qul innani hadani rabbi ila sirat mustaqim. My Allah had guided me on the sirat mustaqim. The life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no different to the sirat mustaqim. The sirat mustaqim is no different to the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa innaka la tahdi ila sirat mustaqim siratillah. O Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you guide to the sirat mustaqim. And what is this? It is the sirat of Allah. It is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the one very, very powerful message that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows you and I, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He was Imamul Anbiya, the Imam of all the Anbiya, and his deen abrogated and his lifestyle abrogated the deen and the lifestyle of all the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the past. The original will be haq, we will bring iman in it. But however, we will follow the Quran Sharif and the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he was taken through from Al-Aqsa, from Masjid Al-Aqsa, through the seven heavens. At the first heaven, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had met with Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. In the second, Sayyiduna Yahya and Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. In the third, Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. In the fourth, Sayyiduna Idris alayhi salatu wa salam. In the fifth, Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salatu wa salam. In the sixth, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. In the seventh, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. He was reclining on the Baytul Mamur, the Kaaba of the sky. In one narration, he had performed a 2-rakat salat there. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, I was brought to the Sidratul Muntaha. And there, that was the cutoff. Not even Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam would go beyond this. And then I was ushered into the presence of the Noor and the Tajalli of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And it was at this point that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala had bestowed three gifts to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the narrations explain, inni ittakhaztuka khalilan wa habiba. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, certainly I have made you my khalil, my bosom friend, and I have made you my habib, my beloved. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam the 50 salat, which eventually became 5. And the second gift that Allah ta'ala had bestowed upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam were the closing verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. فَمَامَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And the third gift that Allah ta'ala had granted to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was that Allah Rabbul Izzat will forgive all sins of this ummah besides shirk, and if a person had infringed on the rights of someone else and he had made good whatever infringement there may have been and he seeks forgiveness from Allah, Allah will forgive him. Up to that point in time, hukukul ibad, if a person had taken something from someone without any haq, without any right, and the person made him maaf, he made good, or the person made him maaf, then at that, until that point, Allah would have not made that maaf, Allah would have not forgiven it. But it was on this miraj that Allah Ta'ala had given the ummah this gift also. Now when we look at salat, we need to understand, and you probably should be asking the question, that if salat was only given to the ummah at this point, then what namaz and how did he perform salat at Masjidul Aqsa? Immediately after Iqra was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some short time had passed. Jibreel alayhi salam had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, Allah has passed his salam to you. Allah has conveyed his salam to you. Thereafter, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam knocked his heel into the ground, and because of that, a fountain was created and water began to come out from the ground. Jibreel alayhi salam made wudu and he showed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam how to perform that wudu. Allah give us the tawfiq that we try to perform our wudu in the manner and in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thereafter, Jibreel alayhi salam performed 2 rakat salat and he showed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam how to perform the 2 rakat salat. At that point in time, ulama say one was the tahajjud, and one was 2 salats that became compulsory on this ummah, was the Fajr and the Asr, and the Asr was only 2 rakats at that time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes home, and he expresses to Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha what had transpired. It comes in the narration, out of her joy and elation, she went into a trance, that my Allah has sent some way by which I can converse with Allah. My Allah has sent me something, some gift, by which I can speak to Allah, I can connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding this aspect of our salat, that it is a conversation between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not a burden for a Muslim. It is something that a Muslim, when he stands in front of Allah, he is conversing, it is a dialogue between him and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayh, in the tafsir of the ayah, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. Ayah of Surah Ar-Rahman, a surah that is so close to our hearts. He says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. Allah ta'ala is saying, for that person, khafa, who fears maqama rabbi, standing in front of Allah, for him will be 2 jannats. In other words, if man can in his mind and his heart create within himself that frame of mind in which he realizes that I am going to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala, then for such a person he will get 2 jannats. Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi says, 2 jannats means Jannatun fid dunya bil huzuri ma'al mawla. The one jannat of a believer can be in this dunya. It can be in this world. And how? By the fact that Allah has granted us the opportunity to converse with Allah, that when a believer says Allahu Akbar, and he gets so engaged and so engrossed in that salah, at that particular time, he should take the joy as though he is in Jannat. That is that salah. Wal jannatu fil ukhra, and in the second jannah is fil ukhra, it is in the hereafter, inda liqa'il mawla, at the time when he meets Allah Ta'ala. At that time already, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah will be cast upon that person, and then of course he will experience that forgiveness from Allah, that rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi states, inna lil abdi mawqifan. For a real true slave and servant of Allah, there are two standings. One standing in this world when he stands in salah, and the other is on the day of qiyamah. If this standing in salah is corrected, one is perfection, to perfect the salah. That is a lifelong struggle. But one is to correct the salah, to recite, to perform the salah correctly. That is quite achievable by all of us. Allah give us the tawfiq. Sometime in the past, I spoke about a person, Dhunnun Misri. He was from Egypt, he was the saint of Egypt. And somebody asked him, what was your lifelong struggle? He said, my lifelong struggle is that when I begin a two-rakat salat, when I begin a two-rakat salah, the greatest struggle is to come out of that salat, to leave that salat. Subah Sadiq is at 4:25, for example. He can sense that now is getting brighter and the night is passing and the time of tahajjud is coming to an end. The time is coming to an end, but how do I leave the salat? That is the joy that he had taken in that salat. Ulama have expressed that in Jannah, there will be four categories of people with regards to the ru'yat, seeing the tajalli and the nur of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One is, the Quran speaks about one category. Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. Kalla innahum ar rabbihim yawma idhil lamahjubun. Essentially Allah is speaking about the disbelievers. They will be veiled and they will be deprived of seeing the nur of Allah ta'ala on the day of qiyamah and thereafter. Allah shows it as an adab. In other words, the heart will desire to see Allah ta'ala. That will be a natural desire to see Allah ta'ala. But besides that one category, there are four other categories ulama have written. One is that category of people who will see Allah ta'ala once a year. They will see the nur of Allah ta'ala once a year. Then the second category will be those people that will have the opportunity of seeing Allah ta'ala once a week on Yawmul Jumu'ah. And then there is the third category. This category of people will have the opportunity of seeing the tajalli, the nur of Allah ta'ala, twice a day. Once at the time of Fajr and once at the time of Asar. Allah give us the tawfiq. Allah give us the tawfiq. Not to, one is to perform the salat. One is to be punctual on performing the salat. For us that don't have any ailments, Allah bring us to the masjid and we perform the salat with jama'ah. And Allah Ta'ala give us the ability that we leave this world as musalleen, as people performing the salat. Ulama have written, for that person that is paban, that person that is steadfast in reading his Fajr Salat and Asr Salat in the masjid, they will make time, they will move everything. They will move everything out of their very busy schedule. They will move the sleep away from their schedule. And they will stand up and they will perform that Salat in the masjid. Allah Ta'ala will give them that opportunity of every Fajr, every Asr, seeing the Tajalli and the Nur of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is the third category. The fourth category is of those, the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, and the high ranking awliya, that will have the opportunity of being in the presence of the Nur of Allah Ta'ala all the time. All the time. Allah grant us that. So brothers and friends, This is that salat, this is that namaz that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given this ummah as a gift. Learn from Sayyida Khatija radiallahu ta'ala anha that she went in this state of elation, this joy, that trance, that my Allah has now showed me a way of communicating, of linking and latching on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this was that great gift that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had bestowed upon the ummah of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very quickly, the second gift, the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, from Amana Rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun, till the end. At the end when we come, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha, laha ma kasabat wa alayha ma kasabat. And then, Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhta'na. Allah, don't take us to task in nasina if we have forgotten or we have erred. Now there is a rule that if you have to make an application and the person to whom you're applying says, put it to me in writing, and that person then gives you all the points. Motivate your case with the following points. I will look at your application favorably. Here is Allah Ta'ala that is giving us and showing us the way to beseech Allah and to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-insanu yurakkabu minal khata wal nisyan. Insan is made up of khata, of errors. Insan is made up of nisyan, of forgetfulness. We err, we make mistakes, we forget. And that is what we need to ask Allah Ta'ala forgiveness for. And then leaving a few of the du'as, wa'fu anna, waghfir lana, warhamna. Wa'fu anna, O Allah, erase. I've committed sins, Ya Allah, erase. It comes in one narration, that when Allah Ta'ala erases from our book of deeds, Allah Ta'ala will not even ask the malaika to erase. Allah will do it himself. Because Allah Ta'ala wouldn't want the malaika to boast upon us that, see, I did it for you. Allah himself will do it. Wa'fu anna. Waghfir lana. Waghfir lana means to forgive, but Allah, cover us. In other words, cover us with your rahmah and remove these sins. Waghfir lana warhamna. And oh Allah, have mercy upon us. So this is the dua that was revealed to Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam on this night. And of course, the third aspect that we spoke about already is that the hukukul ibad. We sometimes wrong others, our parents, sometimes our spouses, sometimes our siblings, sometimes our children, sometimes others. Sometimes we do it maliciously, sometimes naively, whatever the case may be. Let us try and get all this in order. If it is, whatever it may be with regards to hukukul ibad, remember Allah will forgive whatever rights Allah has upon us. But whatever the rights of others are, until they have not forgiven us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive. And then of course, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had come down from the Mi'raj, and then the next day, at the time of Zuhr Salat, this hadith is a famous hadith. It is known as hadith Imamati Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. For 2 days consecutively, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had come and he became the imam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam was the muqtadi. The first day the salah was performed in the awwal waqt. As soon as the time had set in, zawal had completed, and then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had come and he performed the salat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the muqtadi. The next day he did it in the latter part of the namaz time to show Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. You have an appointment with a very important person. If it happens that you have an appointment with the president of the country, you will make every arrangement to make sure you early. Allah Ta'ala is saying, inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitabam muquta. Allah Ta'ala has diarized that my banda is going to say Allahu Akbar. Allah has diarized. It is an appointment with Allah Ta'ala. So let us try and perform our salat on time. Let us do it. Let us correct our salat. And inshallah, in that way, we gain this closeness to Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama anta ahlu, fa salli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kama anta ahlu, wa fa'al bina kama anta ahlu, fa innaka ahlu taqwa wa ahlu al-maghfira.
ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. O most merciful, kind, gracious, compassionate Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us and forgive our parents. Forgive our spouses and our siblings, Ya Allah. Forgive our children, Ya Allah. All our family members, Ya Allah. All our associates, Ya Allah. And the whole ummah of our Nabi, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. O most merciful Allah, grant us your love and your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Grant Allah in us, Ya Allah, the love of salat, Ya Allah. Our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say that salat is the coolness of his eyes. O most merciful Allah, make it the coolness of our eyes also, Ya Allah. O most merciful Allah, make salat, Ya Allah, the priority of our life, Ya Allah, that everything else, O Allah, will be subservient to the salah and the time of salah. O most merciful Allah, O most merciful Allah, accept our salat, Ya Allah, accept our standing in front of you, all our ruku and our sujood, Ya Allah, and all our qada, Ya Allah. O most merciful Allah, grant us, O Allah, that before maud comes to us, that we make tawbah and nasuha. And O most merciful Allah, grant us the maut of shahada with the kalima shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allah, save us from the adab of the qabr. Allah, tomorrow on the day of qiyamah, each and every one of us are going to stand unclothed in front of you, barefooted, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah, and grant us all jannatul firdaus without reckoning. Ya Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Ya Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Ya Allah, whoever has whatever difficulties, Ya Allah, remove all the difficulties and the challenges from each and every one of us, Ya Allah. O most merciful Allah, create ease in our sustenance and our rozi, Ya Allah. Put barakah in our sustenance and our rozi. Ya Allah, create muhabbat in our homes, Ya Allah. O most merciful Allah, create muhabbat in our communities, Ya Allah. Create muhabbat in ummah of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Amongst us in the ummah, Ya Allah, whoever is ill and sick, Ya Allah, grant shifa'i kamil, ajil, mustamir. Ya Allah, whoever has whatever needs, Ya Allah, you fulfill those needs, Ya Allah. Whoever the ummah of Rasulullah, Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is suffering, Ya Allah, remove the sufferings from the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdihi.